Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
To those of us in families, family time is a precious thing, and in the rush and crush of our world, it's under more and more pressure. A revealing survey has just been conducted on family time, finding that 60% of us are dissatisfied with the amount of family time we have. Lots of people only ever have any kind of family time on weekends. Work is the great enemy, plus a range of sometimes surprising distractions. But there are also some really interesting results on what people are actually doing for their family time in 2011 and how that's changing. Before we talk with the man who's commissioned the survey, I thought we'd throw it also over to you to get your tips, your experiences on family time. What do you do? What have you done? And a pretty critical question, considering the findings of this survey, how do you set time aside for it? 1300 40 2020 or post on our Open House Community Facebook page. There is a vast amount of wisdom and experience out there in our great Open House community. What are the kinds of things that perhaps you've done as a parent or as a child in family time? What are some of your golden memories of a particular era of time or your life when your family enjoyed special time together? Conventional or kooky, we're all ears. 1300 40 2020 or post on our Open House Community Facebook page. And I'd especially be interested in hearing how do you allocate time for it? When do you do family time despite all the distractions of modern life? How do you do it? I'll share a couple of my own experiences with you. Would love to hear from you. 1300 40 2020 or post on our Facebook page. For now, let's talk with Paul Clancy from Australian Family Magazine, who commissioned this survey. Paul, welcome to Open House.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So did you have a sneaking suspicion that there was this problem with finding family time?
I would have to say that there was a part of me that said yes. There was probably a strong part of me that said that there was always, I think so many things happen in our lives these days that that affect the quality of time that we spend as a family. So were they a shock? I would have to say not a shock, but more of a surprise.
Is it getting worse, do you think, the level of distraction from family time?
I believe it is, yes. And I think some of the research that we did actually does tell us that. And if you look at some of the numbers, where 60% of all families that we surveyed actually said that they are dissatisfied with that amount of time that they're having. So, and some of the other stats that we're, and as a father, that only 16% of dads were the coordinators of the family time together.
That's one of the things that stuck out for me, because I've thought, or you would hope, that dads would be less disconnected, because we've been moving through an era where men have been encouraged to connect with their families, being these sensitive new age guys, but not so much. Mums are really driving that family time.
Absolutely, it does drive. But and then, so does that say that, that dads are just along for the ride? You know, I hope not.
I'm sympathetic with dads, because there are so many distractions.
I agree.
Including and especially work for them now.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'd have to say that there are so many things that, you know, you work long hours and no longer does you lock your office door or get in the car and head home. The actual office actually travels along the motorway with you.
With your gadgets.
Oh, there's the BlackBerry, there's the iPhone, there's the iPad, the every other possible device that you are constantly reminded about work.
And that level of distraction is definitely getting worse.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there was a good example today, actually. I had a meeting where with one of our clients, and we were talking about technology and how it is affecting us as a community. And I referred to it as dog years, you know. Dogs, what they say, every year get aged by 7.
Yep.
So therefore, our technology is moving so fast that you can be going along the road and, you know, you get so many dings, dongs from so many different devices that are hitting you. It's quite amazing.
Yeah. So the work problem is the biggest problem, biggest distraction?
It is. It is the biggest distraction that that people said in the survey are actually saying affects the quality and the amount of time that they spend as a family.
Why do you think that is?
I'd have to say that, look, I don't think that, you know, we often talk about we're a lucky country, and we are. We're very, very lucky. However, you know, I think people are finding it tougher as families, you know, yes, financially at the moment, and therefore you're having to have to work, and you're having to put in the hours, and you're having to have to pay the bills, and it's not easy.
Our expectations are higher as well?
Yes, they certainly are, and I suppose you can also say we're a consumer-driven society. We want more, don't we?
Yep.
And that's where some of the surprises came out for me, that one of the great things that came out of this research was that 36% of grandparents are actively involved in their family's lives and the lives of those children. Now, I've sadly, my father's passed away and my mum's not well, and I'm married to a South American, so have no family here. So therefore, that's something very special to me to hear, because I yearn for that. I just would love to have spent more grandparents' time so yes, they can actually sit and spend quality time with the kids.
Very special for the grandparents, very special for the grandchildren, but yep, often that's also being driven by more and more pressure on the parents to get the grandparents into child mind.
Yes, in some cases, I think the grandparents play many different roles and they wear many different hats. Yes. I think there's a certain thing that I look at other families and I observe, and I look at the role that those grandparents play in those children's lives, and there's probably one word that I would put to it, and it's constant. It's a constant in those children's lives that they know that they can rely upon, and my children had grandparents and grandfriends day where I had an auntie instead of grandparent attend on that day. But the stories I had on that I heard from that day were just fantastic.
I'm sure.
And how the kids really connect with the grandparents.
And those kids know they're going to be spoiled.
Oh, absolutely. But that's their job.
100% of the time.
That's their job.
The other distractions, so work, technology, gadgets, other distractions the survey found.
I don't know, and I'm sure there'd be plenty of your listeners out there that find that their weekends are spent playing taxi driver, going from birthday party to the next birthday party, picking up presents for that birthday
and
party.
And activities?
Oh, ballet, yes, soccer, cricket, football. You spend your weekend going from point A to point Z,
yes,
with the children. The activities after school for mums that, you know, and I say mums because that's who is predominantly doing it. And our lives have got so much... you
just
could almost
jammed
call it,
in.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There's just so much happening.
Although it's often a good time to talk to your kids as you're driving them to and from them.
Absolutely.
It's enforced time in a way.
Yeah, and you can actually play games in the car with the kids. Yeah. As you know, the old number plate game is always a good one.
Oh, the memories. So, okay, that's all the problem. Let's look at solutions. One of the many interesting things that, as I said, came out of it was how much mums are driving. How's that working?
I think it's interesting that the survey said that mum is the one driving the activity of family time. I guess if you want to call it formal and informal family time. And as a result of that, I'd have to say that where is that going? I think she spends a lot of time reading with the kids, and that's what she's, she told us in the survey, and talking are the two activities that they spend most of their time. And that was actually a good ray of hope for me, that when I heard that reading was one of those things, because I don't know the Australian author, Mem Fox, from Adelaide, who
Possum
speaks...
Magic.
That's it,
yes,
that's it, and speaks about having to read, or we should read, 1,000 books to our children before they start school. It doesn't have to be 1,000 different books, but 1,000 books. So that's
the same
great.
Yeah. Over and over again, yeah, yeah. Do you feel sympathy for dads?
Yeah, I do, and you know, I could actually look at my own self in this role and say, do I try and play an active role in what goes on the weekends and during the week? And yes, I'd have to say, yes, I do. Do I do it 100% of the time? No.
Shock me, you're not perfect.
I know.
So when people are doing their family time, what kind of things are they doing?
Well, reading and talking were the two top,
yeah,
followed quickly by cooking and craft activities.
Okay.
Indoor and outdoor activities were grouped together, and also watching TV. That raised a question mark for me on watching TV, because sometimes I think TV can be a stop-talking device.
Yes, certainly. Although, I must say, if I look back on some of the happiest days of our family life, It was Saturday night sitting around the telly when all the kids were there before everyone started going out to parties and watching Hey Ahead Saturday. Happiest times.
Yeah. It was a wonderful show.
So the television can work to an extent.
Yeah, and we do something similar when we look at TV, not TV time, but movie time.
Yep.
And it's family movie time, so we often choose a movie. And that is a special time where you can actually sit in front of the couch and cuddle and, you know, bring out the blankets, particularly if it's a winter night, and the ice cream and the popcorn and so on and so forth.
This is what I'm keen to get from our audience, the traditions and the kind of activities that their family fills family time with. I've got a tradition still to this day with my youngest 21-year-old daughter. Probably a couple of times a month we'll sit and watch FHV, Saturday Night, Funniest Home Videos.
Yeah.
And what a great thing to be able to do and have a good old laugh. So TV can work to an extent.
Oh, look, no argument on that front. And some of the traditions I know within my own family is that we make a big effort to sit down as a family every night to eat as a family.
Yes.
And many years ago, I was having some dealings with Dr. John Irvine, a clinical and family psychologist who writes for the magazine. And he talked to me about what he used to do with his kids, and he used to play a game called Magic Moments. Magic Moments was all about going around the table and sharing with the rest of the family what their magic moment was from the day to focus on the positives.
Mm.
And the rules were that one person would ask the question, and when that person is answering the question, nobody else can talk until they're finished and can ask them questions about what happened in that day, how did that come about, and so on and so forth. So that is one of the traditions that I hold quite strongly in our family is meal time.
Yeah, and cooking as well. So yes. This dovetails nicely into MasterChef.
Well, it's almost like a craze that, you know, it's not just junior MasterChef, but it's also grown-up MasterChef.
Kids love it.
Oh, my six-year-old son has his MasterChef bowl, he has his MasterChef whisk, he has his MasterChef apron, and he has his MasterChef hat.
Sounds like a franchise to me.
That might be like along those lines. And but on that basis, he actually does cook his egg and whisks an egg every morning and lays it all out and does very well. So, I was actually taken back on the weekend. Our eldest daughter came and said, "Can I make cupcakes?"
Sure.
And off she went. And I'm sort of sitting there, yeah, why not?
Terrific, yeah. One thing that surprised me was that electronic games were occupying a smaller proportion of time than we might have thought.
Yes. And I think electronic games are changing. I think with the advent, again, if we look at those dog years in terms of our technology, those electronic games are no longer sitting on the couch playing with a remote control connected by a cord. It's those activities where you've actually got to get up off the couch and jump around and move your arms and play games. So I wondered from the research whether or not people still classify those as electronic games versus the hand controller games.
Yes.
Yeah, the Donkey Kong or the Space Invaders and so on.
Yeah. Now, I know that Australian families developed a board game. When you talk about games, it pretty neatly fits in with this. It's called Wise Talk for Families. Tell us how that works.
Wise Talk for Families is a game. It's a conversation starter that you can play with the children. It's a conversation-based tool. It's based upon values, where basically kids get to choose a token out of the game. On either side of the token, there is a letter. It's a capital letter or a lowercase letter. That letter then represents a word that is in a book. So kids choose the token, choose the word, and then obviously connect with the word. And an example of that was one I gave earlier when the daughter pulled out the letter O, which stood for odd. And then you actually start the conversation about you ask, you give, and you share, and you follow a process, and you can lead it as a parent, or the child can lead it themselves. And it actually taps into about how the children are feeling, and they actually, it's amazing how open the kids can be when you actually ask them, how do you feel about that?
I'm sure you learn a lot, actually, you wouldn't normally.
It's actually, it's almost uplifting, you know, as a parent to hear. And there was actually only one thing that you had to do, and is actually ask the question, how did that make you feel?
Yeah. Best to start earlier rather than later. I wonder how that would go with teenagers.
Yeah, look, obviously as the children get older, there's the cool factor, or you know,
Dad, this is a board game.
And what I call the grunt, the school grunt. How was school today?
Anything surprising? No.
That grunt is. This actually helps alleviate that grunt because it actually can focus the conversation on something which is a little bit more meaningful, and you can actually create really deeper connections with the kids. We play at story, so read the story, and then we play Wise Talk.
And they're keen on it.
Oh, absolutely, and don't want to just play on one word, but okay, can we play another one? Can we play another letter? Can we choose another letter? So it's actually great, and it's sort of calming. A very calming influence, particularly at bedtime.
Oh, that's nice.
It is. And you play in front of the television. You can play in the car. It's great.
Yeah. It's the second board game of a conversation starter we've had on Open House in just the last 6 months. It's interesting development.
Well, I think the way I was at a conference in the United States when I saw Wise Talk for Families, and it actually can... I went back to my hotel room that night, and for some reason I walked around this conference and then also the trade show part of it, and went back to my hotel room and then started to connect the dot. The dot was my family value of mealtime when we talk about magic moments,
yes,
with Wise Talk. And then those dots just connected, and I thought, there's nothing like this that I had seen in Australia that is focusing in on families and how you connect on a deeper level with your children. And I had to go and introduce myself the next day.
Interesting concept and a very interesting survey. Paul Clancy, thanks so much for joining us. We'll put the details of the game up on our Open House Community Facebook page.
Thank you for having me.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology Solutions. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.